What can we learn from our Lutheran forefathers on how to face the challenges of a culture openly hostile to Christianity? Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has written a column for the Latest Issues Etc. journal titled For Such a Time as This. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You'll also find Pastor Will Whedon's article on the monthly Psalter, the free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Depending on where you live, you may have seen one of these billboards along the highway. It shows a woman in a worrisome pose. And it says, need an abortion? California is ready to help. It has a website you can visit. And then in the fine print, it quotes a Bible passage. Love your neighbor as yourself. These are the greatest commandments. That actually is being paid for by California Governor Gavin Newsom. He wants people to come to California for a vacation. No, to swim on the beach. Well, maybe, but mostly to get an abortion. Joining us to talk about this ad campaign, Dr. Peter Scare. He's professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's president of Allen County Right to Life and formerly served on the God's Gift of Sexuality Task Force for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Peter, welcome back.
Yeah, good to be with you, Todd.
How do you explain the extreme reactions that we're seeing from progressives after the overturning of Roe v. Wade?
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of when Jesus walks into the synagogue and he meets a man who is possessed by the demons, and the man acts up. I mean, demons, they howl at the presence of the truth. And I do think Roe v. Wade being overturned, the Dobbs decision, was a real wake-up call for everyone. As time has passed, it just seems like if you actually look at the abortion issue, maybe, you know, early 1970s, it seemed a lot murkier. And there were many evangelical leaders, many, I think, good Christian leaders who were, you know, a little bit unsure what it all meant. And likewise, I think on the other side, it seemed like there was, you know, maybe hope that the pro-choice side, whatever that was, would see the light. Because, I mean, it included quite a few Christians who it would seem were, you know, were Christians. But as time has gone and as the issue has become clear and as the ultrasound picture can be seen, I think it's pretty much a house divided. Because take a look at that child in the ultrasound video, and we know what we're dealing with here. So I do think it's kind of a death rattle, and I do think there's an element of the demonic here that Satan feels as he stubbed his toe on the Dobbs decision. So it's become only amazingly more brazen, and we saw this not that long ago, though. I mean, it hasn't been forever that women were, instead of having an agonizing decision, as they used to call it, are shouting out their abortions. And now, you know, evil in the face of Newsom is simply doubling down. So it is remarkable to see we are living in really apocalyptic times.
What has California Governor Gavin Newsom done recently?
Well, Newsom has a long track record of this sort of thing. He calls himself sometimes a Christian. He was raised did have among his teachers the Jesuits. You know, he pushed, of course, gay marriage, as we would expect back in the day. Now he's really going after the abortion issue, and I think it's certainly a political thing because he's thinking not simply of the state of California, but he also, it is quite apparent, would like to be the next president of the United States. So what he's doing is he's putting up billboards in pro-life states like Texas and Florida, that have potential challengers, I suppose, to his political aspirations, as well as in our own home state of Indiana. He's been putting up pro-abortion billboards. There's one billboard that I've seen is, Indiana does not own your body, you do. And we did pass some pro-life legislation here a couple months ago. We'll see how that goes. Of course, that's not biblical. Our Lord says you are not your own, and the baby has a different body. The baby has its own beating heart, fingers, toes, and all the rest. The billboard that's really kind of caused a stir, though, is the one that quotes Scripture, and it goes something like this: need an abortion? I guess that's like, you know, you got milk sort of thing. Need an abortion? California can help. So I guess it's kind of, I don't know whether you call it abortion tourism, but it's certainly welcoming people to come to their state to abort their children. But also, of course, it gets Newsom's name out there. But the kicker, I suppose, is in small print below the need an abortion, California can help, is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then kind of humorously, there is no greater commandment than these. So, yeah, that's part of you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And here he quotes from the Gospel of Mark. But they add, there is no greater commandment than these, which is very strange because it's only the second part that's on the billboard. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So asking the question, what was that other commandment? They don't tell you that. It's to, of course, to love and God with all your heart, soul, and mind, which there's no doubt that Newsom has nothing like that in mind.
So what does that verse cited by Newsom's ads actually teach when applied to the situation of abortion?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's just, you know, there's a reason why it struck a nerve, because it's so brazen. It's so, we have to revive some of our vocabulary. It's so haughty. It's so insolent. It's the kind of thing that makes me frightened for his soul in a way. It reminds me in the book of Acts where the king is on the throne and the people are saying, it's not the word of the king, it's the word of God. They're treating him as God himself, and he falls from his throne. He's struck down and worms are eating him. I mean, Newsom is playing a very dangerous game here with the Almighty. Every time I've brought this up, people are like backing away saying, you know, lightning is coming down on this poor fellow. I mean, I can't believe that he would be so brazen to do this. So he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I guess what he wants to do, or whether his maybe ad team wants to do, is to say that to love the woman who is pregnant is to help her have access to an abortion. That, I think, is love in this kind of strange way of looking at it. And your neighbor, I suppose, is come to California. We're your neighbor, and we'll take care of you. But it's an amazing kind of indictment. In a sense, you know, we can all be indicted by God on the very values that we say that we claim. There's no need to go any further. Are we actually living up to what we say we believe? And to say that you shall love your neighbor as yourself, I couldn't. It was some years ago, I had written an article for our Lutheran Witness on the topic of abortion. I don't think I created the cover, but it was called Your Littlest Neighbor. And that was the child in the womb. And to love your neighbor as yourself, I mean, the picture couldn't be more, to me, it's brazen, it's haughty, it's insolent, but it's also just incredibly sad, because the dear woman needs to be reminded that the neighbor for her is the very child in her womb. That's the one that's close to her. That's the child who belongs to her, that has made its home, has been given a home in her very body. So to love the neighbor would be to love the child that you see in the ultrasound, the child that's kicking inside of you. And every woman who's given birth to a child, they can talk to you about the wonder and awe of the pregnancy. And to look at that child in the womb, they can tell you what it felt like to have that child in the womb. And any woman who's suffered a miscarriage knows the value of that child in a way that it's hard for us to, who are on the outside, I suppose, to see. But there's a life there, and that's the neighbor, but that's not what the governor means.
How do you explain progressives like Newsom, who decry religion in the public square, using Bible passages to try and make their case?
I mean, it is a curious thing, I suppose, though. I have friends who are like this, friends who, you know, I get along with just fine. But when it comes to abortion or, I suppose, the gay marriage thing, even though they don't read the Bible and really are quite unfamiliar with its content, all of a sudden they come to me and, you know, I've studied this stuff for a while, but they come to me as if they are the biblical experts, as if they, maybe they get something off the internet. There is a kind of like an element of patting themselves on the back. Of course, there's a lot of, it's an amazingly contradictory thing to do. Because if we were to, I suppose, with a, put a billboard out that had a biblical passage, we would be accused of wanting to establish a theocracy. And we would be accused of trying to muddle the waters of church and state, and to bring our religion into politics, of course, is wrong. But they don't see it in some ways in what they're doing. Now, we shouldn't take it lightly because, you know, there's a mixed bag of people out there. There are people who are simply confused. There are those who still want to have their cake and eat it too. So I was at a gathering talking about some of these issues not too long ago, and I made a little joke about the ELCA having abandoned all of these things. And there was kind of in the crowd, now don't say that because, you know, we want to be nice to them. And, you know, there comes a time when the house divided that needs to be called out for what it is. So there are still people who, you know, they want to, at least in their mind, say, oh, yes, I'm still a Christian, but they want to have some support. You know, so they trot out the Bible people. These are like the guns for hire. These are the people who get paid simply to manipulate and to pick passages out of nowhere and out of context like this one. So I do think there's an element of trying to, you know, maybe get a percentage or two of the people who are still confused and win them over to your side. Or maybe to be able to say, like it's so often the case, hey, there's, you know, experts on both sides of this issue, so who are we to judge? We'll just leave that up to God and not discuss it, or something like that. And the other part, I suppose, is there's just kind of this gotcha element. Like, they're very good on congratulating themselves, for they think they've backed us in a corner, you know, like score. And it's really, in that sense, it's just embarrassing.
I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're discussing California Governor Gavin Newsom's pro-abortion ad campaign with Dr. Peter Scare, professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Concordia Theological Seminary forms servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess at ctsfw.edu. or by calling 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. So I wonder, is Governor Newsom trying to push his religion on us? The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs faithful Lutheran laymen, commissioned ministers, and pastors to serve on its boards, commissions, and agencies. Nominations are open for the boards of regents at our Concordia universities and seminaries, the LCMS Board of Directors, the Office of National and International Mission, the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, Concordia Publishing House, and the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs you. issuesetc.org/nominations.
When pastors talk about us, they say ad crucem. When laity mention us, they say ad crucem. When telemarketers call us, they say ADC Rucam. But a Luther Rose by any name will smell as sweet. Ad crucem is the place to go for greeting cards and artwork, jewelry and ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and much more. Visit adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
I'm Pastor Todd Rappe. I serve a congregation here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Our Redeemer Lutheran Church, a sister congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. All of the saints here gather around blood, water, and spirit, as Theologians of the Cross every Sunday morning at 10:30. We only welcome sinners. We certainly would welcome you. If you'd like to contact us through our website, you may do so at faylcms.org.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
You may be one of those pastors who need to be refreshed and refueled because of your parish ministry.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Charles Geeshan.
Concordia Theological Seminary has a wonderful program, not only in continuing education during the summer, but in an advanced study program called the Doctor of Ministry. And it's a very practical program because it focuses on congregational ministry. It incorporates biblical theology with the ministry of the congregation. It's also very accessible for pastors, and it's also affordable. You can major in pastoral care and leadership, teaching and preaching, or mission and culture. And we pray that pastors will take advantage of this program.
Learn more about the Doctorate of Ministry program at ctsfw.edu or by calling 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Dr. Peter Scare is our guest. We're talking with him about California Governor Gavin Newsom's pro-abortion ad campaign. You were talking before the break about the tendency to kind of trot out the Bible passages when it's convenient to progressives. Do you think that Gavin Newsom is trying to push his religion on us?
Well, his religion is, I would argue, and you're right, it is a religion, is secularism. And I used to, when I went to the seminary, oh, many, many years ago, 30 years ago, we were taught a class in world religions or religious bodies of America, and that's very good to know. It's good to know what the Presbyterians think and the Methodists think and the Catholics and all of that. It's good to study it. But in our day and age, it's not as if, you know, our kids are going off to college or even high school or earlier, and they're coming home and saying, you know, Dad, I'm really impressed by Calvin's Institutes, and I think I want to be a Calvinist. It happens, and we need to, you know the truth and know what's out there. But what is happening on a grand scale is people are coming home and they're following what I would call its critical theory, really might be the essence of the religion of secularism. And you can see it in a person like Gavin Newsom. C.S. Lewis called it, he talked about it as the abolition of man, in which we're taught to see through everything, so much so that we don't see anything at all. So we just see through everything. So what are they blind to? The blindness is, it takes, I think, a very religious person to look at Bruce Jenner and see a woman. There's no woman there. It's a man. You'd have to have a strange religious faith to say that this is now a woman because he says so. And the other part is, like, you know, what's before your very eyes. It takes, I would say, a good deal of religion to look at an ultrasound and not see the child. You see fingers and toes and a head. And this is an interesting thing. I did a little bit of homework on this because the billboards advertise California has a website for abortion. So it's just touting their abortion services and how to get financial aid for it, that sort of thing. We live in a day of incredible graphics and of pictures and all of that. Computers can show us wonderful pictures, but you will not find on the Newsom California abortion website, you'll never see a picture, of course, of, you know, what does an abortion actually do? You'll never see an abortion. I guess they're still embarrassed by that in a certain way. There are no pictures whatsoever of the child in the womb. There's no picture of whatever. You can call it a blob of cells if you like, but the picture tells a different story. So there's still a lot of deception or hiding, even as they become incredibly brazen in their promotion of it.
What is the state of abortion law in California?
Right now, they'll fund it. You don't need a doctor to do it at an early stage. You can do it all the way through 9 months. But even after that, I mean, it becomes, you cannot prosecute a doctor even for not giving medical treatment to a child already been born, as long as the mother has a consent. I think they call it a perinatal abortion, which is abortion around the birth. So it can be before the birth. It can be before. It can be after. So there is nothing, and it only is moving, if there's anything that it's moving towards, it's abortion all 9 months, but it's just moving brazenly towards infanticide. So your life still, you think you've made it out, you think you've been born and now you're safe. Not so much. If they don't want you, you'll still die on the table.
Newsom describes himself as, quote, a Catholic rebel in some respects, but one that still has tremendous admiration for the church and a very strong faith. How do you respond?
I mean, it's just hard. I mean, I don't want to laugh at these things, but yeah, Catholic rebel, when you think about that. So yes, I believe more. I have admiration for the Catholic Church or whatever its teaching is, but I rebel against it. Well, you know, I guess that I could imagine Satan, we could have an interview with Satan and saying, well, you know, I do admire the strength of Jesus, but I don't like his game plan. You might call me, and then I'm a rebel angel. So yes, I am a fallen angel, but I'm a rebel angel because I've got to fight against some of these things that obviously are taught by God, but which I cannot stand with. So in a way, it's quaint. I don't know how long it's going to last. I mean, we're getting near the end of this sort of thing where, you know, you see it a little bit in Nancy Pelosi, where she still would claim to have a love for the church. I suppose the next question will be, is for the church itself, is we know what kind of folks these are. We know that Newsom has no love for the Catholic Church or any church. And we know that he has no love for Christ. I mean, by his actions, he's showing himself to be a rebel, not against the church, but against God himself. So we can expect that, especially as the days draw to a close. I guess the question for us in the church is, will we remain faithful? Will we remain the church? Will we ourselves be obedient? And if you look at the Catholic Church, it's a difficult thing right now. There's very little rebuke against a person at the papal level, at the leadership level, against a Newsom or against a Pelosi. There's more consternation over, I think, a Catholic who wants to have a Latin Mass. That's a bigger problem, it would seem, than a person like Newsom who is going out of his way to deny our Lord's teachings on just about everything.
Some Catholic groups have called Newsom's ad campaign blasphemous. Do you agree?
Oh, it really is. I think that's why it struck the nerve. It's really giving the middle finger to our Lord God Almighty. It's one thing to, you know, I suppose you could say the very fact that he uses a Bible verse in some ways, I guess that is a tribute in a strange and evil way to the truth. But the fact that he has the nerve to do it, it really goes against, I guess it's just in a matter of pride that's hard for, I think, a lot of us to even grasp. You would think evil knows what evil is, so it kind of hides in the darkness, in the shadows, and tries to work in euphemisms and to say things that aren't quite true. But you, a lot of people, and I guess we all do it, we try to hide even behind ourselves. And if we're doing something wrong, you don't want to associate yourself with it. But when the truth comes out, what can you say? And here, I do think our society has crossed a line in the last few years where I think what it is a loss of shame. It's complete shamelessness before God. So I think, yeah, it's taken to a new level that's really breathtaking.
Do you think that Newsom's ads, in part, are designed to goad Christians in the pro-life movement?
Well, I don't know. certainly there is always the desire to, they want to rile us up so that we act. I believe in righteous anger. I think righteous anger is a good thing. But we should not act in rage or in mindless acts of any kind of violence like that, because then they've won the day. And this sort of thing happens. In fact, I have friends who work more regularly around, let's say, a Planned Parenthood, especially in very difficult places where the secularism is very strong, and they have to take classes on how to respond and not respond, because they might come, as we saw, but we saw the FBI raid the home of this pro-lifer not too long ago because the pro-choice person was picking on his son and saying all sorts of nasty things, and the pro-lifer simply pushed him away. And of course, then the guy flops, falls on the ground, and now, you know, it was followed by lawsuits and the police. They didn't do anything because they knew it was a setup. But the FBI came in amazingly. So, yeah, this is Saul Alinsky tactics. Saul Alinsky taught the left, hey, you got to win in the trenches. So they teach them to get into the face of Christians, to get right up. And if you've ever had that, we've had somebody come up to you nose to nose with an inch or two, it's hard not to want to push away. And I suppose the same sort of thing could happen. We could lose our head in this sort of thing. Now, what I'm very heartened by, though, is I've seen responses by things like the Babylon Bee and the great Hans Feeney, who has his satires. There's something about humor which has a way of deflating the lie and for exposing it for what it is. So I believe in righteous anger because there are children whose lives are on the line. It's not just about us. But I also recognize that even with this kind of, you know, brazen behavior, there is an element of fear. It means actually that we are getting through, because what the lie cannot stand is the truth. And as long as we keep speaking the lie, Satan, the father of all lies, he himself becomes enraged, because the lie has no place to stand. That's why it hides behind euphemisms. That's why it never makes the argument. It just says the issue is settled. So this, again, could be an opportunity for us. I would like to see, maybe they're up there already, I'd love to see more billboards which are electronic and simply have ultrasound pictures, you know, just show ultrasound pictures of babies at various stages of development and say, we love these kids. So we have to get into this business of winning over the people just as well.
Dr. Peter Scare is our guest. We're talking about California Governor Gavin Newsom's pro-abortion ad campaign. I'm watching the political ads, and it sounds to me like the Democratic candidates have decided to run on abortion. Is that a winner?
Come and hear abortion survivor Melissa Odin, Jeannie Mancini from the March for Life, and Blaze TV and radio host Steve Dace at the 2022 Lutherans for Life National Conference, Friday and Saturday, October 21st and 22nd in Rock Island, Illinois. Lutherans for Life National Conferences provide valuable information and encouragement to you, your congregation, and your community. The 2022 Lutherans for Life National Conference, October 21st and 22nd in Rock Island, Illinois. Learn more at lutheransforlife.org/conference.
Is there a difference between what different Christian denominations teach? Or is Lutheran, for example, just the flavor of Christianity that you prefer to put in your religious ice cream cone? Is there more to what we believe, teach, and confess? Well, the October issue of the Lutheran Witness took up this very question. What is the difference between Lutheranism and other Christian denominations? To pick up your copy, visit cph.org/witness or visit our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church.
At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move farther in 1 Thessalonians with pleasing God, called to holiness, those fallen asleep, like a thief, and destined to obtain salvation. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Folks, it's not too late to register for the 2022 Lutherans for Life National Conference, Friday, October 21st and Saturday, October 22nd in Rock Island, Illinois. The speaking lineup includes Jeannie Mancini from the March for Life, Blaze TV and radio host Steve Dace, and abortion survivor Melissa Oden. Find out more at lutheransforlife.org/conference. The Lutherans for Life National Conference, October 21st and 22nd in Rock Island, Illinois. lutheransforlife.org/conference. Dr. Peter Scare is our guest. We're responding to California Governor Gavin Newsom's pro-abortion ad campaign. I've been watching the political ads on television, Peter, and it appears to me that Democratic candidates have chosen to run on the abortion issue. Is that a political winner for them?
You don't know. It depends whether we on the pro-life side are willing to speak about what is really at issue. I noticed here in Indiana that we did pass a law, a pro-life law, and of course it's already been challenged by a judge. We knew that would happen. But I did see, and we have good legislators, but a lot of them were not yet used to speaking on behalf of life in a more public context. They could go to a pro-life rally, I suppose, or to a banquet among the friendlies. They were good at that. But we have to recognize what we're up against when we're, you know, taking this to the streets. I think it's been pointed out that, and in some ways, I guess we should be grateful for a person like Newsom in a sense that because evil does have a way of overplaying its hand. And a billboard like this exposes Newsom really for what he is. And it's kind of ghoulish, isn't it, that you would go into other states to recruit women to come to your own state to do what they do. So I think the truth is on our side, especially, again, as they are promoting abortion all the way to the end. And people don't like that because at least they can imagine they know what a child looks like at the sixth, seventh, or eighth month. And certainly infanticide gets at the issue. But it's our business of really showing the awe and wonder of a child in the fifth, the fourth, the third, the second, and the first month, and to talk about our love for the child and for the mother. So again, I mean, who am I to say politically what will work and won't work? There's a lot of politics, so there's a lot of framing of the issue, of course, that will make a difference. And we have a lot of education to do still. And we're still in the middle of, we're fighting against not flesh and blood, but, you know, powers and principalities. So certainly Dobbs didn't get us out of the woods, but now it got us out into the playing field where we need to make our case and make it in a way that's winsome and strong. And I think we can do that. And I think the truth is on our side. And maybe the fact that a person like Newsom is doing this, maybe it's like, well, is that all he's got? And I think, though, as he plays his cards, though, I think the darkness of his heart is going to be seen more clearly.
If you had a few minutes to speak to Governor Newsom, what would you say to him?
Yeah, I mean, I think about this because I don't get any glee in this, in the judgment that is going to come, because one common sin infects us all. And the darkness of his heart, which just seems like it's been exposed, that darkness can be found in each and every one of us. So we share this sin. But I could only speak a prophetic word, and I would warn him that his soul is on the line. And I think I would also share pictures of the victims of what he's done. I think I would show pictures of the aborted children. You know, it's better to tell somebody when it comes to something like this, we still do want to win his soul. Now, whether that's possible or not, or whether there comes a point where, and you look at our society, hearts are hardened and hardened to the point where, you know, it would take a miracle beyond all miracles. And you see so few converts at this stage because the hardness is so great. But it's like Ezekiel, you know, if I warned him about the judgment and the wrath to come, at least then I could say it's on him now and not on me. And I do wish, yeah, that would be my prayer for the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, that they would develop a little bit more of a spine and that they would offer this word to folks like Pelosi to let them know that they are in danger of grave judgment. And it's, I guess what I would share about the passage is it's from the Gospel of Mark that he chose. It's in the other Gospels, but he chose this passage from the Gospel of Mark. And the Gospel of Mark only talks about hell in one place. Matthew has it all over the place. Luke has the terrifying story of the rich man and Lazarus. But in Mark, the only place where hell is specifically brought up is when he talks about little children. And you don't mess with little children in the Gospel of Mark. It'd be better that a millstone were hung around your neck than you would cause harm to one of these little ones. Better it to enter into the kingdom without, you know, hands or feet than to cause harm to one of these little ones. So yeah, Jesus loves the little children. He takes them up into his arms. Jesus himself was a child who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and lived in the womb of his mother Mary. And he did that for you and for me and for Gavin as well. So I would pray that he would turn from his wickedness before it's too late, because the Lord takes no pleasure in the death even of the wicked. But judgment day is coming. Life is short. I mean, I'm always amazed at some of these people. It's like, don't you recognize? It's like the parable of the rich fool, though he doesn't seem to be a terribly evil man in that sense, but you're not going to live forever. And you soon, like we all, you're going to meet your maker. You might be amazed. You might be taken by your power now, by the glory that comes with being governor and perhaps even being president. But there is an eternity that waits. And I would not want to say these things and have them brought up on the day of judgment.
Dr. Peter Scarer is professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's president of Allen County Right to Life and formerly served on the God's Gift of Sexuality Task Force for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Scarer, thank you very much.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Tuesday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery about Albert Schweitzer's psychoanalysis of Jesus. We'll discuss forging a sacramental culture with Dr. John Bombaro. And we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Jeroboam and Rehoboam in 1 Kings chapters 11 and 12. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Invited to Oktoberfest featuring the Waterloo German Band Friday night, October 7th at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. Oktoberfest features a buffet dinner, silent and oral auctions, and of course, beer. Tickets are $20. Proceeds benefit St. Paul Lutheran School, the only classical Lutheran school in Greater St. Louis. Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. Oktoberfest is sponsored in part by Ernst Heating and Cooling, Alton Memorial Hospital, Vallow Floor Coverings, Seavers Equipment, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, Baker Construction, Bunker Hill Chiropractic, and Lutheran Public Radio. Oktoberfest, Friday night, October 7th at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. school.stpaulhamel.org.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The Saints at Village are proud to be an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. If you are in the St. Louis area, join us for the Divine Service at 8:15 or 10:45 a.m., Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., as we receive Christ's promise of salvation and forgiveness through word and sacrament. You can find us at villagelutheranchurch.org. Village Lutheran in St. Louis welcomes you.
You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
That you, through his poverty, might become rich.